dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk, Shane Combs, Matt Combs, and Jeremy Ward.
SBC fans, welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com, and I'll be joined by Matt and Jeremy here in just a second, as I always am throughout the fall. But as I put a lot of thought into this show this week, I really think this has been one of my favorite shows in terms of preparation. I've had some of the most incredible feedback this week and some great discussions on the record and off the record, I guess. And it's really given me an insight to try to best answer your questions in terms of the fan feedback on expansion. And it's been such a discussion of reality versus hypothetical. And, you know, as I get deeper into it, it looks like the league has kind of shut down the idea, and the reality is the league's intact moving forward, and they're very happy with where it's at. But there's still so much hypothetical out there that we've always felt like the feedback from the fans have to provide the show. And, you know, the more I get answers, it's kind of educated me on the history, the present, and the future predictions of the league. And I think it can really educate the fans. It can really educate some of the coaches. It can educate even our administrators, some of our community members in terms of their expectation for their individual schools and as our league as a whole. And, you know, guys, before I welcome you to the show, we had an incredible email here from one of our outside listeners, outside meaning outside the conference, and it's a little bit of a long one, but I think it's definitely worth the reading to kind of get us started this week. It says, "Hey, guys, I am not from the SBC, but heard about your show on SEO Preps and have listened to every show for a little over a year now. I am a big fan of high school sports. I've enjoyed the talk about expansion. I hope you are able to get the feedback within your league that you were asking for on last week's show. I was hoping you guys could give your honest opinion early in the show this week. I've heard you guys mention some pros, cons, but have never really heard you say your thoughts. All correctness, and that's in quotations there, aside, yes or no, if it were up to you. If no, why? If yes, do you see the growth coming to the West at all? Thanks. Love the show. Wish my league over here to the West had this type of coverage." So, you know, Matt, I'll give you the first at bat this week. Just kind of looking at that email definitely got us thinking about our opinion and how we've stated it. Why don't you go first there? Your open chance to just give your opinion. If you're in charge of the SBC and it was your call first thing tomorrow morning, take us through it.
Well, I think it was an interesting email. The correctness, I can understand as I listen back to the show why people would think sometimes we sit on the fence a little bit. But this is one of those topics that's difficult to be 100% sure of. It's a tricky situation. But I think, after looking at it from both sides, I mean, if I were the guy in charge, I would say no right now. I would keep the league the way it is. I wouldn't expand. There's a couple reasons for that, really. One, I think maybe I'm a little gun shy because I've seen what's happened in some other leagues. Namely, I think, and I've used the SUAL as an example of what can happen if a league, expands and maybe doesn't have the right plan in place. You know, what looks good on paper isn't always what is good in the end. And then all of a sudden, fast forward a few years and the league's having trouble even staying together. And I think we certainly don't want to put the SBC in that situation where it basically becomes endangered, you know. So that would be one of my reasons for not doing it. And I think the other reason, quite frankly, is I don't think it's a league that's in bad shape. I think there's a lot of pluses to this league. The eight-team league that's been intact now for a lot of years has created some rivalries. I think the competitive balance is much closer than what a lot of people think. I just don't think the sky is falling, and some people do. I think there's still a lot of competitive balance in this league. I think there's still a lot of good things about the league. And yeah, that's my opinion. I just wouldn't do it right now.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
Well, you know, honestly, I've kind of gone back and forth on the issue. And obviously, when you put yourself in a situation where you maybe have an affiliation with one school, you tend to take that perspective. But I truly believe, after talking to people from various schools, you know, some of the people that we'll hear from later on in the show, and the more I think about it and the more I talk about it, I just don't think it's a good idea. I think what drives high school sports, you know, when it's all said and done, is, you know, the availability and the proximity, and the SVC offers that like few leagues in Southeastern Ohio do. Just the fact that, you know, we can do what we do as far as coverage. The fact that you can at some points, you know, when we did the Adena Unioto volleyball game, and, you know, Zane Trace's team left, you know, finished their game and was at that game for the duration. You know, when you look at it from a financial standpoint, you have a better opportunity to, you know, make money with your athletic programs. You know, not having your kids out on school nights all the way down to the middle school levels because all of your games are relatively close distance. I just think from a logistical standpoint, as well as some of the things that Matt mentioned, you know, if you're familiar at all with the SUAL, it's got to scare you to death because that league is completely falling apart. And, you know, when I was younger, I think that they were, you know, everybody was envious of that league and how together they had it, and look what has happened. So that would really scare me off. So, you know, if I really try to look at it objectively, I just don't think it's a good idea.
Well, guys, my opinion, Jeremy, I thought it was interesting how you say a connection to one school, because I think where I've got myself on the fence sometimes, and this email was really good for me because, Matt, as you said, as I went back and tried to listen to some of the segments of our past shows, I think where I've got myself on the fence is sometimes when I talk as an SVC person, just in terms of in general, and then maybe when I start to view it as a member of Paint Valley over the last 15 years, 20 years almost now. And that's probably where I get in the middle. If I were the leader of the SVC and this was my decision to make, I think that as any leader, you try to go out and you gather the opinions of all the different schools around. And I've been able to really, really do that this week. And the majority would have to rule, and that would be to say no. I think the SVC has to stay put. The eight schools, just the way it is, is probably the best way to go. Now, I think the biggest thing I see, though, it doesn't mean moving forward you can't do it better. Just because you are, you know, maybe the best. And when I say the best, it's just from the construction. And I think you'll see some people back me up on that throughout the show with our feedback. That doesn't mean we can't make some changes. You know, I think there's some compromise as I hear some of the extremes from some of the biggest schools and from some of the smallest schools. And we've done research this week to have some data that I'll share with you throughout the show. Why can't we have some changes? Why can't we play with five in golf to try to make the parity improve? Why can't track and cross country do exactly what they do at the SVC meet, but honor a big school, small school champion? Why can't we adjust some junior high scheduling as enrollment starts to get out of hand maybe a little bit? So I say no, but I would also encourage our principals and our ADs to really sit down and constantly be at least discussing change from the aspect of how can we make an already great league better. Now, guys, we're going to have a chance to go back and forth throughout because, you know, guys, really, we were hoping to get some feedback this week, and we certainly have done just that. Beyond the opening email, we had phone calls this week from guys who have served and continue to serve our league in administration and coaching. You know, we hope to use their thoughts as well as our own thoughts to see how the thought of expansion would influence each of the eight schools.
Just remember, you can get SVC Sports Zone updates throughout the week. Just follow us on Twitter at SVC Sports Zone.
Well, guys, guys, you heard me say leading into the break there about the extremes and about how sometimes what I get myself into is I have my Paint Valley hat on compared to the SVC hat, and how that can I don't know if it changes my opinion, but boy, does it sure allow me to see it in a different perspective. When I think the extremes, you obviously think Paint Valley and Uniota. You know, Uniota playing in the Division II now and just about everything, and Paint Valley dropping down to the lowest division Ohio has to offer in just about every sport out there. And when I think Paint Valley, obviously the pros of the expansion for them would have been certainly a chance to win more league titles, you know, more kids recognized, maybe a little bit more of a morale, get the numbers to go up. A problem as coach compared to, you know, a fan, because I think what happens is, for me as a coach, I've never allowed myself to get into this. If I'm evaluating this as a coach, it's just never an excuse. It just can't be. It's something that you understand. It's out there. I think I've been on record several times. I know my kids have heard this in baseball over the last decade. You know, the SBC's not coming back to you. You got to go get it. And that's always been my motto to our little league coaches, to our junior high coaches, to our JV coaches, and so forth. And I've never allowed myself to get caught up in that as a competitor. But when I step back and I watch the other sports, and I watch some of my very best friends coach and go through some of this, boy, does it give me a different perspective. And, you know, I think that's probably where the biggest advantage would have been for a Paint Valley, to maybe have that opportunity to maybe look at a tweak in the league, or maybe even Paint Valley moving on. But the cons, boy, they're there. I mean, you know, the travel, the football, I think, would lose its identity. And football is obviously a core value. You know, I crunched some of the numbers today, guys, and, you know, Paint Valley has 10 football titles. And then you look across, never won a volleyball title, hasn't won a boys basketball title since 93, hasn't won a girls basketball title since the mid-90s, never won golf. Baseball hasn't won one since the mid-90s. Softball's only won one in school history. So you just keep going through. And, yeah, sure, there's some competitive balance things that are there. But I certainly think the travel and just the loss of identity in football would really hurt the community and what the school district's kind of been – has it as its foundation, if you will, in the athletic program. So I was anxious to then go to you guys on the Uniota side of things. And Matt, I'll start with you, because you have such a history with Uniota, and you've continued to follow. If you were going to kind of throw out pro con, just we're speaking hypothetical now, as we said in the intro, what are some of the things that if you're making decisions at Uniota that maybe cross your mind?
Well, I think the pro, you know, I think Jeremy's mentioned in the past, you know, maybe there's something to be said for playing in a different league with schools a little bit bigger in terms of preparing you for the tournament and excuse me, whatnot. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of cons, because, you know, if you go into a different league or this particular league splits up, you know, you are going to lose some of those natural rivalries. You're going to be playing some schools, again, depending on how the structure is set up, where it's going to take some getting used to, maybe in travel and just building those traditions or whatnot. I think the thing with Uniota, when you look at tournament success, is they have not been. I guess Division II in basketball or baseball or whatever for very long. And I think it takes time to sort of adjust to that. I've happened to be a coach in Division II in basketball for 15 years. I know the challenges it presents. I think Uniota is like any other school when thrown into that situation. It's going to take some time to get your feet wet and sort of understand what to expect and understand, okay, now that we know what to expect, how are we going to attack that, if that makes sense? Are we going to do something different with our non-league schedule? Right. Are we going to do – so I think give Uniota time. I think Uniota has every resource and every ability to do well in their current division. It's just going to take a little getting used to, I guess.
Well, Jeremy, I know, and looking at the numbers, they're crazy good. I mean, obviously, golf, Uniota, I think on my count, had 15, and baseball, 19, and boys basketball, they only have seven, but I know now that, you know, they've been hot here of late, and volleyball only five. Obviously, all the volleyball numbers are swayed by the incredible Dana right. program. I think football's the one that jumps out at you in terms of, you know, how they are not able to get over the hump. They've won seven overall, but haven't won one since 98. I guess when you throw all of this league success, for the most part, the domination of obviously cross country and track, when you throw all this success in, you and I kind of debated back and forth last week about regular season success versus tournament, and how a Uniota might, I don't know the word, maybe react to not being the big kid on the block a little bit. And that was an interesting discussion. Just your take, pros and cons, from a Uniota perspective.
Well, I tell you what, I agree with a lot of what Matt said. You know, as far as time, I think you're going to see a significant difference this year in some of the Division II tournaments. You know, I look for Uniota to compete much more favorably. And I think maybe that's what you get in Division II, and that's why patience is a virtue. You know, some years it's going to be thick. It's going to be difficult to get out of the sectional. You almost have to look at the Division II sectional as a district tournament in some of the other divisions. But really, at the end of the day, you know, the majority of time I was in high school, even middle school, you could argue that Division III in many sports was more balanced and at the top end more talented. So that stuff is going to come and go. So you certainly don't want to jump to conclusions. However, I think you have to begin to think about your options, and you have to start thinking about possibilities so that you just don't completely, you know, 10 years from now, put yourself in a situation where, oh, maybe we should have thought about this, or maybe we should have been looking at this. Maybe we should have been prepared to go in either direction. So, you know, that's kind of the way I would look at it, is, you know, just really revisit the issue year after year after year, and study and kind of examine how you're running your athletic programs and what the alternatives are. Because if you can't make your situation definitely better, then why in the world would you take that chance? But if 10 years from now you look at the situation, you think, are we only holding on to the SVC as it is because this is the way it always was, and you don't have a better argument, then, you know, then decisions have to be made.
Matt, is that going to be the job of the individual school? I guess that's a hard thing for me to respond to, because as I said a second ago, I'm invested in it and I live it every day and I'm working at it. So it's hard for me to separate. You know, with the SVC, a lot of the middle schools, as we're going to get to in the next segment, are kind of locked in the middle there, and they're fine with it. Is it one of those things where you make the decision for the SVC and these extreme schools, the Paint Valley, Uniota, as Jeremy said, maybe 5-10 years down the road, if there's going to be a change, it's going to be more of an individual change that those particular schools are forced to make?
Yeah, I think ultimately that's exactly what it'll be. I think this league is satisfied or pleased with it as a whole. And I think if it becomes an issue for one of the schools at the extreme ends, then it's going to probably be up to them to change rather than to expect the league to change.
Really interesting. Jeremy, anything to add to that before we go to the middle?
No, I completely agree, and I think the reactionary nature of certain schools have led to the demise of leagues in our area, and you really have to take a long-term look at it.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, beyond the extremes, I know the six schools in the middle offer us probably the most intriguing conversation. Fans, stay with us as we hear from Piketon and Westfall, and we'll chime in with a Zane Trace opinion as well. Guys, as we get to the middle of the show, we get to the middle of the league. And when I say middle of the league, I'm talking as we get into the six middle enrollments. And when I started looking at some of the numbers with Piketon, it was really interesting. Piketon's won the one volleyball championship back in the mid '80s, and the Zach Farmer baseball team here recently with the championship. Was only their second in school history. I know girls basketball has won four, but they have not won one since the late 90s. And football was really interesting because you look at they've got nine overall. But haven't won one since 97. I guess that number was one of the more shocking in my research today. And they had that 4-year run in golf. And I think obviously with what they have coming back, they can do that. Great history in cross country and so forth. So, you know, as I break that down, before we get talking too much of our own opinion on Piketon, we had a phone call this week from Piketon. Bruce, do we have that call we could run?
Hi, Shane. This is Jeff Ruder. Just want to let you know that the executive committee as a whole is very pleased with the state of the SBC as it is. There are so many things that we have going for us. One of the things that we love about being kind of a smaller conference is that we don't have to split the conference in two. Having eight teams, you play each other twice. There's wonderful competition. The rivalries go back to the 60s and 70s in some cases. And every single year we are extremely well represented in the district, the regional, and in many years the state, with the state championship last year. Coming to the SBC. I've had the wonderful opportunity to coach in three different leagues, and I can tell you that by far the SBC has the best coverage of any league in the area that I know of. When you start talking about Mike Smith and WKKJ, you start talking about the Chillicothe Gazette, and also with the addition of the SBC Sports Zone, there is no other league in the area that gets that kind of coverage for the kids, and it's really about the kids. And also our banquets are just tremendous. The committee goes out of its way every single month to make sure that whatever we do is in the best interest of the kids of the SBC. So the one thing that we try to do, and we've done a pretty good job at it for the last 30 to 40 years, is as long as we always put the kids first and what is best for them, everything usually comes out okay. But like I say, right now the SBC is in a great position. And we are very happy as a committee with the state of the league. Thank you for your time.
Well, what a great call. I appreciate Mr. Ruder calling into the show. Obviously, when we get legitimate feedback from people in administration, it gives a great clarification to what we're talking about. Obviously, it's something the fans are asking about all the time. And, you know, guys, that's where I was talking more from that hypothetical situation. You know, Piketon's one of those groups that kind of gets into the middle. I talked to not only Mr. Ruder, I'd also talked to Coach Bumgardner. I talked to some various Piketon people throughout the last couple of weeks and kind of just getting their opinion. And, you know, a lot of things are interesting. They kind of feel like they're in the middle and there's really no format or no change that can really take them out of the middle. Yeah, it could make them up to the little guy in the big half or the big guy in the small half. But even in some situations, it doesn't really put them in favorable rivalries and gates and different things. So when you get stuck in the middle, I guess that I understand where they're coming from. Matt, let me come to you first here. What's your thoughts on Piketon and their place in the SBC history as you think back to being an athlete and now as a coach? I know you still play Piketon in boys basketball.
Yeah, I think Piketon's more than held their own in the SBC. They've got a little bit of history in every sport. You mentioned cross country, football. They had a good run in basketball under Coach Lyseth. They've had some success, like you say, in golf. I think Piketon's always been very, very competitive. They've always done pretty well athletically and seem to do a good job there of getting kids. I've always noticed at Piketon you get a lot of kids playing multiple sports, you know, two and three sport athletes. So I think they've done a good job of putting the coaches in place that gets kids excited about it.
Well, Jeremy, as I look at a similar school, maybe between the Piketon and Uniota, you kind of get to the Zane Trace. I know Zane Trace enrollment going up, and Zane Trace obviously plays a lot of sports and it spreads their athletes out. But the one word that comes to my mind when I talk to Zane Trace people would be expectation. And, you know, I think it's awesome to have expectations, but I also think there's got to be some reality. And I think, as we talked about in the Uniota situation, that the thing I would caution some of the Zane Trace fans on is taking a look at your place in the league and where your place would be if the league were to break up. And, you know, I look through the numbers. Zane Trace in baseball has won the three titles there in 02, 04, and 08. And that's why, you know, when you look at Zane Trace baseball throughout all history and then look at where it's been the last decade with Ron Allen, that's why I must just laugh at people when they say anything negative about Coach Allen or the Zane Trace baseball program, because he's done an amazing job. Same way with football. You know, let's not kid ourselves. When I look at the numbers, and maybe Zane Trace people could call in and tell me different or tell me why, but, you know, they win a share in 79 and 86. And beyond that, five of their seven titles have come in 01, 04, 05, 09, and then last year. So, again, you hear some negative response from their football program every now and then, and you kind of start to look back at people and almost kind of ask them, well, what is it that you want? They have a great volleyball coach now. She's already won a title there in a short stay, and I'd be anxious to see over the years what Coach Lori's able to do there as coach. And obviously boys basketball and girls basketball have had their spurts. So, you know, Jeremy, when you think of Zane Trace, do you see a little comparison of Uniota in terms of that expectation and being caught in the middle a little bit?
Well, I think so, and certainly you talk about expectation, and that's really what you get as you look school to school. And, you know, it's not okay at Zane Trace to finish in the bottom half of the league. Maybe I would go that far in anything. I think their expectation is they believe that they should compete for league titles as one of the bigger schools. You know, they kind of have defined boundaries, so they're, you know, they're going to grow, but not in the same way that, you know, maybe some other schools do. You kind of know what you're getting, I guess. So even if your population increases, you still know the types of people, the types of kids that you're getting. And that's a great thing to have. I mean, there's no question about it. When you can have expectations and there's not as many variables out there. So, you know, I think that's fair, and I think that's a good word to use. But, you know, what you'll find is, no matter what perspective you see it, you know, true fans and people that are invested sometimes are their own worst enemy. When you step back and you look at it, you tend to appreciate the accomplishments a little bit more than when you're in the midst of it. And I don't think that's any different whether you're at the top or the bottom. You know, you have certain expectations and you're judging everything based on those. So, you know, what is a successful year to you is completely different than an outsider's perspective.
Well, and Zane Trace fans certainly not leaving out softball. I know they've had an incredible run there. This is probably a good time to just throw out there to all SVC fans. Softball is one of the few sports, along with track and cross country, that I don't have the exact history list on. All these other sports, you can go back through the entire league history and see league champions. Softball, I am trying to collect that. I've been in contact with every school and just haven't gotten the official word back. So certainly did not want to leave the softball program out there. Another softball program that obviously put the SVC on the map in a big way is the Westfall Lady Mustangs. And as I look at Westfall, I'll tell you what, we got some feedback from Westfall too. Bruce, let's go ahead and roll that one and we'll talk some Mustangs.
My name is Trevor Thomas. I'm the head baseball coach at Westfall High School. Been there for 15 years. I understand that there's discussion of expansion in the SVC, and it's been a hot topic on your web or on your podcast. To me, the idea of expansion in the SEC is not a good one, as we have a very perfectly balanced league where league play prepares teams for the postseason and state tournament levels. I think with all the expansion talk going on, this is something that we need to consider, that it prepares even the lower, smaller schools for tournament play better than any league in the state. I think we're perfectly balanced at 8 and be a good place to keep it. Thank you.
Well, again, Coach Thomas there of Westfall baseball program, appreciate him calling in. Trevor's one of my real favorites in terms of fellow coaches. He's been so, so good to me as a friend. And, you know, I respect his opinion because he's been doing this a long time. And when you talk tournament tough, you know, Matt, I think that's something that you get from a lot of these people. And I think when you're in the middle, these people feel like the SVC needs to lock in. And obviously they're right there in the middle of it. They want it to be the best it can possibly be. And you hear that phrase tournament tough and tournament ready. quite a bit. And I know you've talked about that in the past shows in terms of some of the rivalries and some of the head-to-head matchups that you get from the SVC.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think that the SVC has had its fair share of tournament success. I mean, we talked a little bit about that in one of the previous shows about comparing when we were comparing to other areas. Are there times, you know, we'd like to see, you know, a little more of that success? Sure. But I think as a whole, in certain sports especially, you know, Trevor's awfully close to baseball, softball, especially those two sports jump to mind. You do get prepared for tournament by running that gauntlet and playing in that league where there's so many good teams.
Jeremy, the one thing, I guess Piketon could be in the same mix, but you know, the thing that jumps out at me about Westfall is when you think pros and cons of changes, I don't know which one this would fall but there would be an entire geography change for them. I guess if they were to move, it would be more of a northern move, and with coverage and rivals and growth, it would be a completely different picture for Westfall, wouldn't it?
Oh, certainly. And you know, I guess if you look at each school individually, you know, Westfall probably over the course of time, you know, there's been years where they've been Division II in certain sports. You know, geographically, they could fit. I mean, you start thinking about the Mid-State League and, you know, the natural rivalries that they already have, that they already play in other sports. They certainly could compete in just about any sport in that league as well. So, you know, Westfall is intriguing from that perspective just simply because, like you said, being a little more northern, you know, I always, from an outsider's perspective, you know, just kind of would always forget Westfall was in the SVC because you just, you know, it was so much further up there and with Circleville, Logan Elm, and they were all, you know, very similar type schools. Football was a big part. And I could see, especially the years where they were kind of dominant in the league in football, where people in Westfall would consider making a move.
Sure.
But, you know, all in all, I think when you look big picture, which has kind of been the theme of this show, again, like any of the schools in the middle, you know, why would you take a chance when you know that it works?
Well, Matt, when I look Westfall, obviously, you know, each of the basketball programs have won 4 or 5 titles each, and baseball's won 11. But obviously, football is the thing you think of when you think Westfall, with 19 championships. That ties Unio to baseball for second in our league, according to my numbers here. But obviously, Adina Volleyball's way out in front. I don't want to make this all sunshine and puppies for the SVC here. I want to go ahead and have a legit discussion. So I'll just throw this out to you, Matt. Maybe fair, unfair. With Paint Valley football being a smaller school playing in a big conference, it helps. But with Westfall growing the way they have, does the SVC Football League hurt Westfall when it comes to postseason preparation?
Well, I don't know. The one thing I think saves Westfall in that area is that those 3 non-league games up front.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And we talked about it before. I mean, because you're looking, if you look at it, don't look at it as a league, but look at it as a 10-game schedule. You know, Westfall's going to get challenged in each of the first 3 games every year, playing Logan Elm, Taze Valley, and Circleville. They're going to get challenged at least a couple times in the league, depending on who's good that year. So I don't think it's as bad. Now, if Westfall, and this is what Jeremy always talks about, I think, with doing right by your school and your non-league schedule, you know, scheduling based on where you need to be. You know, Westfall's done a good job of that, you know, because, and we've said it before, if Westfall ever goes 3-0 in the non-league, you better watch out, because they're pretty good, you know.
Jeremy, your thoughts on that before we move on to our final 3 schools here?
Well, you know, I think that may have been the best example of, you know, historically a particular, you know, I've mentioned it before that football drives conference alignment, conference, you know, makeup. And if Westfall's football dominance didn't make them want to leave, that should tell you a lot about the SVC.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Some really good discussion here. And again, individual people from these schools, let us know your thoughts, because you obviously know better than us when it comes to living in these particular school districts and growing up as a student athlete and now maybe as a teacher or a parent. Love to get your feedback. You can send that into admin1@svcsportzone.com, or you can also give us a call, 740-569-3254. Really have enjoyed the phone calls at this point. And definitely got another one coming up here. So fans, stay with us. On the other side of the break, we stay in the middle of the pack in terms of enrollment, but we move to the smaller half. We have Southeastern guests give us a Panther opinion, and we talk a little Dean and Huntington as well. We do this in 20 seconds, so stay with us.
Got something you want to contribute? Call the DBK Media Services number, 740-569-3254, and leave a message for SVC Sports Talk.
Well, Jeremy, we asked for some feedback in the music, and I can tell one of our most loyal listeners that the X has definitely marked the spot this week in terms of our bump music. So I'm sure he'll appreciate that little shout out there. But no, Bruce is always looking for some music selections, and you can send those to us really anyway. The phone number we've mentioned several times, email, Twitter, just hashtag it, SVC Sports Talk, and I'll pass that on to Bruce, and he's got him a long list there, and he'll get you on. So appreciate the feedback there. Speaking of phone calls, Bruce, I wanted to get into some Southeastern discussion there. Do we have the John Evans phone call?
Yes, this is John Evans concerning SVC Sports Zone, calling in regards to the views of expansion in the SVC. I've been athletic director for 9 years at Southeastern. And over the last 3 or 4 years, we began to discuss the idea of expansion and weigh the pros and the cons. And I think ultimately the sway of the SVC is to stay the 8 teams. I think first and foremost is the issue of competitiveness and competitive balance. I believe that's the main reason they've looked into expansion. And with the big school, small school idea at stake. But in my view, and I believe most of Southeastern's view, what would happen is we would begin to lose some of the competitiveness concerning some of our rivals that we've had over the years. I mean, remembering going to the oven, or going and playing St. Trace in the pit, or our rivalries with Uniota throughout the years in boys basketball. And some of those rivalries, some of those games that we look forward to on a yearly basis would either lose our value, or they would be non-existent altogether due to the fact Southeastern school size would put us in a smaller size conference. So, and another issue would be then how the teams would be divided. If you look at football, and you think this year one of the big powers would be, and over the years has been Paint Valley, and over the last several years, Adena has always been in the top. Both of those would serve us as small schools, and thus they would be competing with Southeastern. And yet those larger schools where we may be more competitive with throughout the years, we would not have on our schedule. So in thinking, is expansion good or bad when it comes to Southeastern? I think most of us right now would like to basically stay the course and keep the SVC at the 8 teams that we have currently here in SVC, and it's worked so great for so many years. And to take a chance on expansion and losing that when you start looking at all the other leagues and the amount of change we've seen over the last five to seven years and the different conferences that have actually disbanded or had to go out and get other schools, and to realize the SVC has been very strong in competition over the last several years, and to take a chance of losing, I just don't think it would be beneficial for the SVC to look into.
Well, I appreciate Coach Evans. As he said, not only is he in coaching, he's also served so much time in terms of athletic administration and really gave a good Southeastern view. Guys, a couple things jumped out to me when I listened to that, because, again, I've been studying the numbers all day. You know, in girls basketball, they've won a couple titles but haven't won one since 91, never won one in golf, only have won two in softball. I look at baseball. He won one back in 87. That's the only one. So obviously the thing here that drives the bus out there in Pantherland is boys basketball with 17 titles. And, you know, he mentioned a lot of those things. And I think it's neat when you go community to community to see the different thing that kind of drives the bus, for a lack of better term, in terms of what generates some of the discussion. And, you know, Matt, I know you have the utmost respect for the overall tradition there of Southeastern. From a boys basketball perspective, as you listen to Coach Evans and some of his comments, just your reaction.
Well, you know, the one thing that's been interesting tonight with these three phone calls is we've had kind of a call from a school that would probably, if this league expanded, be in the bigger half. A call from a school that would be in the smaller half, and then a call from a school that we don't quite know where they'd end up, somewhere right in the middle. And so it's interesting. It worked out that way to where we got that wide range of perspective. And all three of these calls have basically said, you know, no way, you know, let's keep it the way it is. So, you know, I think that's probably the most interesting thing to me tonight.
Jeremy, I certainly don't want to cut you off on Southeastern, but I can't help but go to Adina a little bit, because as I think of Adina, and I was just thinking of my point, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, of what drives the bus, so to speak. I noticed a couple years back, remember when the schools had to vote on the different competitive balance things the OHSA was throwing out there, and the tradition factor was in there. And I remember Adina was looking so hard at what would happen to volleyball. Obviously, their 26 titles in volleyball is just crazy good. By far the most of any SBC sport, SBC program. But then, you know, equally impressive when you think of the nature of the sport, I go to baseball and they've won 16 of them. So I guess it's interesting when you go school to school, there are things that they have an identity in, they invest in, and then, you know, maybe some of the other sports are still struggling to find what's going to make them go. But that's kind of the unique thing that makes the small school work throughout these six middle schools, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think the diversity in where your success lies, you know, some schools like Southeastern, you know, you mentioned dominance in boys basketball. And, you know, if you take that out of the picture, you know, maybe they have a completely different perspective.
No question.
A school like Adina, I mean, you have obviously volleyball, but even without volleyball, you look at, you know, their competitiveness at the state and regional level in multiple sports over the course of time. Now, sure, I think the flip side of that is sometimes when you go into a rebuilding mode or you go down, you have the potential to be, you know, really down when you're a small school that maybe you don't have at one of those in the middle of the road or at a Unita Zane Trace. So you have that risk, but you also have the opportunity, because of your past success, to get coaches that want to stay, that know that you can win there. And those types of traditions, you know, can kind of breed more success. And, you know, so when you're looking at a perspective, Adina is probably, you know, you talk about Paint Valley football, but Adina is probably, you know, the one that ruins everybody's argument. You know, because they've been able to do it in so many different ways in so many different sports and have success.
Yes, Adina football here with eight titles, winning a couple there late 90s, and then a couple years back here, I want to say that was the 2010 season. You know, Matt, we certainly haven't forgotten about Huntington. We did not put anyone last on purpose here. We were just simply starting with the extremes and then looking at the three bigger in the middle, then the three smaller in the middle. So as I look at Huntington, I'll probably trip all over this question, but I know you'll figure it out and answer what it is I'm wanting to say here. Huntington's really intriguing to me, Matt, because when I look, I see no softball titles in school history, no baseball titles, although their baseball program's been really, really improved in the last decade as Coach Carroll was there for the longest time and had some tournament success. I know Coach Smith wins a sectional last year in his first year. And then I look through girls basketball. They had seven titles, haven't won one since 06. Boys basketball, they only won two. I believe that was the freshman and senior year of Josh Kello there in 05, 08. And so I start to look through volleyball. I mean, volleyball's been in the top half, but again, with Adina's dominance and Uniota and so forth, and volleyball, they've only won two titles in 80 and 83. So there's a lot there from a title perspective that's lacking. I guess my question is this. Maybe a pro of them moving to a league where they're a little bit more of the top dog. Maybe there's more title chances and a little bit more tradition in terms of hanging banners. But from a con standpoint, I don't know that Huntington would be able to financially do the things they do in the SVC. I don't know if they'd be able to prepare for postseason the way they have because they've had some postseason success. And I'm not sure that they would have the overall product on the field, on the court, even though it maybe doesn't translate to titles. You kind of see where I'm going here in terms of the pro and con with Huntington. I just wanted to get your take on the difference maybe between winning a bunch of league titles compared to all the other things that I'm throwing out there.
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question and the argument, you know, that each person has their own opinion on it. That was surprising to me that Huntington hasn't won more because, you know, Huntington's always seems very competitive, you know, in things. I mean, they're like anybody else. They have their moments where they're down, but it just seems like Huntington's always – you know, it's always a tough game. It's always whether you're playing them in baseball, whether you're playing them in boys and girls basketball. It just seems like they always battle, and it kind of surprises me when you go through the history there a little bit. But I guess that's kind of why this show tonight. You said at the beginning it's going to kind of educate. That educates me a little bit.
Well, the education part of it, Jeremy, again, I was going to try to enter this with an open mind and not feel like I had to sugarcoat anything. I started looking down through these numbers, and if I'm being honest with SVC fans, because I know they're doing the same people that really know the history, I see a lot of these smaller half schools, when they have won SVC titles in these secondary sports, a lot of times there's been some transfers and some different outside influences and some different things that have maybe swayed a program for a year or two. That when you look over a 30-40 year history, that's just not the norm. It's more of a unique factor that's come into play. So I guess before we get into our hurry up offense, I'll give you, Jeremy, one final idea here, some thought maybe out to the fans in terms of Southeastern, Adina, Huntington. When you're in the middle here looking at the bottom half of the enrollment, just some of your final thoughts on some of the things that maybe you've learned from this week's research.
Well, you know, just building off of some of the comments about Huntington and then broadening that out, you know, if you're a Huntington, if you're a Paint Valley, where would you go where it would be better? If we split and had a smaller division, the majority of the teams that, you know, you've struggled, you know, to beat or win championship, they're still going to be on your league. What is it that would make it a better option? And that's really what you have to examine going forward. It's easy to say, well, it's hard to compete in junior high, or it's hard to, but
right.
Overall, you know, what is the plan? Because you can't just blow it up and not know where you're going.
Well, again, fans, certainly not trying to not include cross-country, track, softball. Again, those are the sports I'm looking for some history on. Anyone out there that can help me out on that. We have such incredible history pages for the other sports I've mentioned. I'd love to finish that off on the website so that we have all of them. Well, guys, up against the clock a little bit, I want to get into the hurry-up offense. And you guys, before getting out of here this week, let's use our rapid-fire segment to look at some of our SVC fall sports. Matt, you take the first one. Jeremy, let's put you in the middle, and I'll take this final one. Fans, play along, and we will discuss them in detail here in just a second. So, all right, Bruce, what do you have for us this week?
Looking at the final Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC golf scoreboard for the individual all-league selections, what jumps out at you?
Great improvement for the individual champion, great depth for the team champion.
The Adina Sports Medicine SVC volleyball stats were updated once again over the weekend.
Which player and or stat do the SVC fans need to pay attention to down the stretch?
I'm going to say blocks.
As the league prepares for Week 5 in football, which team is the league's most complete team?
Guys, I see no complete team, so I'm going to say I have no idea. Well, Matt, let's go back to the golf discussion here. I love kind of the wording of your answer. I know I always, just like I think all the fans do, even though it's not my question, I'm all the time putting together notes and analyzing it myself. I thought what jumped out at me was seven sophomores and one freshman. I think we only had four seniors, if I'm not mistaken, on the entire list. And I think we had nine repeats with pretty similar scoring here and there. Maybe even some kids that, because of the incredible depth, as you said, on their own team, didn't even qualify. Matt, just kind of share your thought process on the phrase that you use there to answer this question.
Well, on the team champion depth, I noticed with Uniota, I just think, again, the depth just overwhelms, you know, the league over the course of eight matches. I had to scratch my head and kind of laugh a little bit when I saw some of the scores. I think there was a Freeman kid from Uniota that shot a 36 in one match and a 39 in another. He didn't even get to play in enough matches to qualify for all league. You know, so, I mean, how many schools would like to add a kid like that to their roster, you know, and play him every day? So I just think when Uniota can run that many people at you, it allows for them to have maybe some of their better players to have a rough day, as did happen in the last two matches there at Pickaway. When their top player had a little bit of a rough day, the other guys pick him up, you know, and that's what team is all about. And I thought Uniota's depth showed up. My individual, excuse me, is the kid from Zane Trace, the Arnold kid of basically getting Player of the Year, and I think they said he improved by six shots.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if people that don't play golf realize how incredible that is to improve by six shots over nine holes in a year. That's a bunch. I mean, that is an incredible improvement. I think it says a lot about that kid's work ethic, and it paid off for him.
Well, that's well said, Matt. I tell you, Jeremy, the thing that jumps out at me, too, is I believe in the top five, we have five different schools represented. And we go down through here. I see where Piketon has their four kids in there. And you see Adina jumping up in there. And you see, I think, like I said, seven sophomores and a freshman. So we have a lot of these kids coming back. Quickly, I just would like to throw out at you – how many kids do you really think we'd be hurting here if we would take a look at playing five? I just think the parity of playing five would be one of those compromise things in this particular sport that might even the playing field. Is that something that you hate the idea of, that you'd be open-minded to? What's your thoughts on that?
No, I don't really. When you consider that's what happens as you move on to the tournament. I guess, you know, you could debate the pros and cons. I could certainly understand it, but in a way, you know, does that punish the programs that have more kids playing? You know, from a championship standpoint, I can understand that. And I'm certain that you could just compromise and still allow, more kids to play, whether it's piggyback a JV match, whatever, so that the kids are still getting a chance to compete. But as far as competitive balance, especially when you look at some teams that, you know, from year to year can't field, you know, a full team to have a team score, it would make sense.
Well, Jeremy, let me stay with you as we went to question number two here. I thought it was interesting you threw out blocks, because that's not something I had thought of. But once you said that, I immediately started thinking, trying to follow your thinking. And I jumped to Westfall a little bit and how they go about it a little bit differently, say, than a Uniota and Adina. Because the one thing I looked at are the kills are down. I don't know if it's because serve receive's not as good, the efficiency's not real good, if it's contrasting styles, which would lead to your block there. I know Huntington, Paint Valley, Piketon, Westfall, ZT were all hit by graduation, and maybe they're still trying to get a feel even a year later for scheme and how they want to go about attacking it. Do you think our two thoughts kind of relate a little bit more than I originally thought they might?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, what I've noticed about volleyball stats, and I've learned a lot over the past few years, and as we've done the show and watched more volleyball and learned and listened to people talk that know a heck of a lot more than I do about it, is that stats in volleyball can be very, very misleading when you consider, you know, take last year, the year before, where we had so many 4 and 5 set matches, and this year it's sweep, 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 it seems like. So there are fewer games. You know, there's a little more dominance from top to bottom. And without the parity, you know, you just don't get the opportunity to have as many kills, as many digs, so on and so forth. Now, with that said, as you look at the current status of the league, and, you know, I think everybody considered Westfall a defending champ as in part of the title picture, but they probably have, you know, the toughest task. With the blocks, I think you see their advantage over Adina and Unioto. And as we turn to a critical run at the end of the year, their dominance at the net, first of all, being healthy, and second of all, you know, being able to play not only the attack side but the defensive side of that, they just have a huge advantage over the rest of the teams in the league. And if they're able to win the championship, I think that'll have a lot to do with it.
Well, you certainly mentioned health. Obviously, Phillips at Westfall seems to be back at it now, and that's obviously made a big difference. And we'll have to see what Hutton's situation there is at Adina. But, yeah, health is certainly going to play a factor. You know, Matt, when I got into number 3 with football, I said, I see no complete teams. I kind of have no idea. I just wanted to throw out, I'm just going to think out loud for you here a little bit, and then you jump in and tell me what you agree with, don't agree with. I look at Piketon. I'm so impressed. I know you had a chance to see them in person. I'm impressed on the offensive side with all the weapons they have and the points they're able to score. But defensively, I'm not sure why. I know Adina scored some of those points late this past week, but I know defensively they've had trouble keeping, you know, some Benton County teams out of the end zone and so forth. Unioto, just knowing how to win. I don't see some of the intangibles. I've seen them twice now. A little killer instincts lacking there a little bit. They're certainly as talented as I've seen a Unioto team in years. But there's just some things missing there. The other night, it's a poor snap with a chance to cut at the 5. Even when they make a big play, they're not able to finish the play and really take control of the game. Paint Valley's very, very talented on both sides of the ball, but I want to say 130, 150 yards in penalties the other night. You know, just over the last couple of years, it just seems like some of their they get in their own way in terms of limiting the talent gap that they should have. Westfall's really hard. Zane Trace and Westfall, Matt, really hard schedule-wise. Really, really hard early. They start SVC play with two of the bottom teams, with Zane Trace and Southeastern, Westfall Huntington. Seems like we're all the way into week 5, and I don't even know. The Westfall Piketon game should tell us a lot. The Zane Trace Paint Valley game should tell us a lot. So, Matt, as you hear me go through those teams there and bouncing those ideas back and forth, what are some things that jump out to you as we end the show here at football?
Well, I mean, I think at this point in the season, sometimes it's difficult to really call a team complete because it's still somewhat early. You know, you've only seen these teams 1 week of league play. I definitely think the most complete team's Paint Valley. I think when you look at the whole big picture, you've got a quarterback there who's a very good athlete. He threw for 300-plus yards in a game. You don't see that at the high school level a lot. Then you throw in a stud running back, really, with Tegan McFadden, and you've got some guys on the edges that make plays like McCloy and Hatfield. I just think they have the most complete team. I understand what you mean. You say with the mental mistakes, obviously that's something I'm sure Coach Holland's going to address and try to cut out. But I think sometimes those mental mistakes can be fixed a little bit easier than the other stuff. And I think physically and the players they put on the field, I just feel like they're the most complete squad.
Well, I can't disagree with that. You know, you throw in Johnson kind of giving a different type of runner there with McFadden in the backfield. You know, Jeremy, a final thought on football before we get out of here this week? As we get into week 5, any matchup jumping out at you or something that you want answered here in the next week or two as we head into the second half of the year?
Oh, I think there's the point. I could use a couple more weeks just to see how things shake out. You know, again, I think talking from the beginning, I think sometimes in football it takes you to the midpoint in the season before you can really identify you know, the difference between who you thought you were coming into the season and who you really are at that point. So when you kind of reevaluate things at the midpoint after a couple of league games and determine, okay, what's our best chance of success? Maybe it wasn't the same as you thought it was going to be, whether it was because of injury or whether it's just because of the way things shake out. I think being able to reassess your situation and take a hard look in the mirror, if you will dictate who's able to, you know, have that nice run the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 games of the season, and be the deciding factor in a championship.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, really, really fun show, a great show this week, great feedback. I've really enjoyed it. Fans, you can let us know Facebook, Twitter, the inbox. You know, we mentioned the phone number, 740-569-3254. You know, I'm not saying we won't talk about expansion more. If you have more to add about your school and so forth, we want to talk about what you want to hear. So if it's something else, maybe as we get into the tournament, some of the fall sports and the second half of league play and some of the fall sports, maybe there's something you want us to break down there matchup wise or just sports in general. So guys, I enjoyed it. I want to thank Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe as well as all the other sponsors on the website. So fans, until next week, for Bruce Knox and all the fine people at DBK Media Services, for Matt Holmes, for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Holmes reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.